Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is WEEI Late Night with Brian Barrett.
I don't really see us having a head coach.
Those two guys have huge responsibilities. They're clearly guys that, you know, have made huge plays all the way throughout their career and will continue to do so. That said, you know, I think the Celtics are Boston's team.
To this day, I don't think the Eagles have been able to replace me. And to this day, I don't think the Patriots have been able to replace me.
You know, the way that I played yesterday is unacceptable.
Welcome in. Here we go. And I know we're used to it at this point in the season. The Pats already having the division locked up by now, and we're trying to figure out, well, who are the Patriots going to be playing in the AFC Championship game? That's ordinarily at this particular point in time what we're having conversations about. Who are the Patriots playing in the AFC title game, and are they going to have home field advantage? A lot of times it was with Denver. Was it with Indianapolis when Peyton Manning was at those two destinations? But those are the questions, and more recently the Chiefs, right? And things, of course, certainly different now in the post-Tom Brady era. But I just want to let everybody know that I'm kind of enjoying this. Now, not the offense on the field. I'm not enjoying that whatsoever. But this whole competitive thing, it's actually kind of fun. Like the regular season where your team is not the Yankees, so to speak, or the Lakers, so to speak. This incredible team, this incredible juggernaut, where really, for 20 years, it was really two games were important, right? The AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. It felt like you judged your season on what happened in the AFC Championship game. Just as somebody sitting back enjoying football each and every week, I kind of like the scoreboard watching. I kind of like seeing this team fight and try to get into the postseason and crawl, right? And I know that this is a team that we don't have high expectations. We don't expect them to go to the Super Bowl. It's a long shot for them to even get into the postseason. I understand all that, but I am having fun seeing these guys fight each and every week because we know it's not the most talented team in the world, but I'm enjoying it right now. I am enjoying it. Now, offensively, I got a lot of issues, and I'll get into that in just a second here, but I am enjoying the actual competitive action, so to speak, and the fight just to get in. So with that being said, if you look at it, if this Patriots team is going to keep us interested until week 16, until week 17, you're going to have to win four out of your final five games if they even want a shot at the playoffs, right? You got to win at least four of five. So that means there needs to be a sense of urgency, not just from the players, but from the coaching staff as well. And if you're going to make a run to the postseason, this on Sunday against the Chargers, this is a gotta have it game. You need to win this one if you want to stay competitive the remainder of the season. And if you want to get into the playoffs, you need to win this one. You're going to have to beat either the Rams or the Bills, and maybe both. But let's crawl before we can walk here. This one, gotta have it. Chargers are 3-8. 3-8. And yes, there's a lot of talent on that football team, but they're coached by Anthony Lynn, who we'll get into him in greater detail as the night goes on. That guy's an absolute train wreck from a coaching perspective. But meaning that this game, is a gotta have it game. This is one of the must wins on the schedule. You got to win 4 out of 5. This one is definitely one you cannot afford to lose because you still got the Bills and you still got the Rams. Okay, but it also means this. If these games are all pretty much must win, it means anything that you can do to help win should be on the table, right? And that comes from the coaching staff perspective. Anything they can do to help win the game, everything should be on the table right now. You're crawling to get in. You're crawling to get into the postseason. You're hoping to get into the postseason. You have to go on an incredible run just to get there, which means anything should be on the table. Anything you can do, if you're Bill Belichick, if you're Josh McDaniels, if you're Steve Belichick, anything you can come up with should be on the table. Any suggestion is not stupid at this point. Throw anything out there in order to get a win. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. And that means, by throwing anything out there, that means sitting Cam Newton down if he sucks. And we saw this week that Cam Newton, of course, he was put on the injury report with the abdomen issue. I got into that in great detail last night, what it all means. And it does mean that it makes it easier to yank Cam Newton without saying you did it because Cam was sucking again, right? You can protect the player from the criticism by saying, yeah, well, you know, Cam's been trying to gut it out through this ab issue. He's been dealing with it for weeks. He's been dealing with it for a month. And we just wanted to protect the player, right? So we got into all that last night. But it makes it easier to move on from Cam Newton and put Jarrett Stidham in if you already have Cam Newton on the injury report, right? But anyway, when I look at Bill and when I look at Josh McDaniels, if Cam's doing what he did at the beginning of the game last week, you got to make the change. Because I know all season long, the Patriots have been running the ball great. Nobody would dispute that, right? Almost 150 yards per game. But it's becoming more difficult, if you've noticed, over the past couple of weeks to run the ball because teams, all they want to do is say, try doing the throwing thing. Try to beat us throwing the football. We don't think you can do it. We do not think you can beat us throwing the football, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to stuff the box and force you to try to beat us with the passing game. So just take this into consideration. This is jarring. The Patriots passed the ball on just 48% of their first downs. You know where that ranks in the NFL? Dead last. Dead freaking last. They throw the ball less than anybody else in the entire sport on first down. The Patriots. The New England Patriots, the game-specific team, right? Where every game, it's a new game plan with Bill Belichick over the years. They have legitimately become the most predictable offense in the league from a run-pass ratio. Everybody knows what you're doing right now. That is completely un-Belichickian. And Damian Harris, by the way, this isn't an observation. This is a legitimate stat. He's facing more 8-man boxes than anybody else in the NFL. And look at Damian Harris's last two games. Against Houston, 11 carries for 43 yards, 3.9 yards per carry. Now, we can have an argument on whether or not they should have given him more opportunities. I would have advised for that, as I said, after the game. But the point being, he only ran for 3.9 yards per carry that game, okay? Last week against Arizona. And I'm not blaming Damian Harris. I'm telling you because he's facing more 8-man boxes than anybody else in the NFL. This is not about Damian Harris. It's the fact that he cannot be effective right now. Last week against the Arizona Cardinals, 14 carries, 47 yards, just 3.4 yards per carry. Okay, so those are the last two games when clearly what Houston was doing and clearly what Arizona was doing, both those teams said, Cam, try to beat us in the passing game. We are loading up the box. 8-man boxes, 9-man boxes. You cannot beat us throwing the football. And quite frankly, Cam really couldn't do it. And it took away one of your most effective weapons, your best offensive weapon this season, which is the running back Damian Harris. He ran for 121 yards on 5.5 yards per carry a couple of weeks ago. 71 yards on 14 carries against the Jets, 5.1 yards per carry. And by the way, the 121 yards, 5.5 yards per pop, was against Baltimore. Against the Bills, it was 16 carries for 102 yards, 6.4 yards per carry. Those were his three games before the last two games where the defenses are just selling out to stop the running game because they don't think Cam Newton can beat you. It's actually embarrassing. The way that defenses are lining up to play you defensively, it's actually getting embarrassing. It really is, because even a guy that on three different occasions this season, 5.5 yards per carry, 5.1 yards per carry, 6.4 yards per carry, even a guy like Damian Harris, who has become one of the better running backs in the NFL this year. He's been a dominant running back so far this season. Even he cannot be effective the way the defenses are playing him. It's embarrassing. It's the equivalent to playing a triangle and two on one player in the NBA. Or like a couple of years ago, remember when the Raptors were playing the Warriors in the NBA Finals and Klay Thompson went down? They said, we'll play a box and one. That's a high school defense. Teams are treating Cam Newton right now like a high school quarterback that cannot throw the football. Okay, so Damian Harris was red hot. And then the last 2 weeks, the Texans and the Cardinals, it wasn't happening because of the loaded boxes. So you're not just running people over anymore like you were a couple of weeks ago. And Cam can't make the defense pay throwing the football. And Cam's ineptitude as a passer right now is clearly hurting your biggest weapon offensively, Damian Harris. And by the way, and I'm not telling you this is the be-all, end-all, but Damian Harris right now is the number one ranked running back according to Pro Football Focus. I'm not telling you that's the end-all, be-all. They grade each and every game, and I get Damian Harris has played less games than Derrick Henry, who's number two, and Dalvin Cook, who's number three on that list. But the point being, that's how well he's running the football. Whether or not you want to, oh, yeah, I'm not a big Pro Football Focus guy, Brian. Okay, fine, whatever. If that's your prerogative, fine. I'm just telling you. It matches up what you think, doesn't it? That he's been running the ball, even if you don't say he's been the best running back in the NFL. I wouldn't say that, but he's been really effective. Okay, so the point being that that guy can't even be the same player because Cam Newton can't throw the ball. And we often ask the question as it pertains to quarterbacks, right? Like, do they elevate the players around them? We used to say that all the time with Tom Brady in terms of receivers nobody had ever heard of before they came to the Patriots. All of a sudden, they're playing well. How the hell did that happen? Tom Brady elevated the players around him. And we know Cam doesn't have great weapons. I'm not telling you he does. But he doesn't elevate receivers or tight ends, right? Nobody's, like, playing unbelievable because of Cam Newton. And he may actually be making your stud running back, Damian Harris, worse and less productive. So Cam is legitimately making Damian Harris's job less effective. So how long do you give this guy on Sunday, Cam Newton, if he continues to play like he did against Arizona? If it continues to go this way, Bill is going to be in the same position he was last week, trying to win with zero offense. And look, they dodged a bullet last week. Zane Gonzalez missed the field goal after the Cam Newton interception. And I know that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, they just wanted to pound the football in that game. And I told you, they run the ball more than anybody else on first down. But now they can't even be the offense they want to be because the quarterback is such a bad passer. Ideally, they want to run the ball like crazy. But right now, it's gotten so bad. The quarterback is so horrible throwing the football that they can't even be who they want it to be offensively, which is very simple. Just run the ball, pound the ball. But it's so bad from a passing game perspective, it's become very difficult to even run the ball. Think about what that says. Bill Belichick always wants to keep the opposition off balance. And now you have the most predictable offense in the NFL. The most predictable offense in the entire sport. You think Bill Belichick wants that? No, but he has to because the quarterback has been so bad. He doesn't trust him to throw the ball on first down. They're trying to limit how many times Cam throws the football. That's how bad it's gotten. And obviously, Bill knows they're the most predictable first down team in the NFL, but he can't change it right now because he doesn't trust the player to throw the football. He averages 198 passing yards per game. He has five more interceptions than touchdowns. He is hurting the team. He's not helping. He's not... Oh, Cam is not losing you games. No, he's lost you plenty of games this season. So it's not like that. It's not like, all right, you put him in. He's the prototypical game manager quarterback. He's not even that. He's not a game manager. He's hurting the team right now. They don't trust him to the point where they've become incredibly easy to game plan for. Think about this organization. And I know that you were never going to get the same thing with Cam Newton that you got with Tom Brady. But think about where the Patriots are at. They're the team that from a defensive perspective, it's easy to game plan for them. It's easy to game plan for their offense. Did you ever think you would be here with the New England Patriots, the greatest coach in the history of the sport, a bright offensive mind like Josh McDaniels? Did you ever think you would be here as somebody that watches this team each and every week where they are the most predictable team in the entire sport? They were chameleons for years. You go back to 2014, and I'm not comparing these teams from a roster perspective. But Tom Brady was at his peak 2014 to 2018. That's the best stretch of Tom Brady's career. You can give me 07, but 14 to 18, he was the best player in the sport. It's not even remotely debatable. He was insane from 14 to 18. even in 14, as great as Tom Brady was with prime Gronk, with Julian Edelman, with Danny Amendola in this incredible passing game, there were plenty of games where they just said, oh yeah, they can't defend the run, let's pound the football. It happened against Indianapolis twice that season. Remember the famous Jonas Gray game. Then he got kicked off the team a couple of weeks later for showing up late. And then LeGarrette Blount pounded them in the AFC Championship game. So even with Tom Brady, they've been able to say, hey, if the defense's weakness is they can't defend the run, we're going to pound the football down your throat. So we've seen this team change and morph its game plan each and every week. They can't change anything offensively right now. They don't trust Cam Newton to the point where they are so easy to game plan for. So you get three series into this game, and it's the Cam we saw against Arizona, and it's the Cam we've seen for most of the season. You got to yank him. You have to. You have to pull Cam Newton out of that game because that's not putting the team in the best position to win. Keeping this guy on the field is not putting the team in the best position to win. And I know it's not like Stidham is some established player in the league. I'm not telling you that it's a guarantee that Stidham's going to be great. But what I do know is what Cam Newton's doing right now, it's not acceptable. He's barely better than Sam Darnold and Carson Wentz. That's how bad Cam Newton is. So what if Jarrett Stidham can just be, I don't know, somewhere between the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th best quarterback in the NFL, because you know what? He can actually throw the football. That's an upgrade over what you have right now at the quarterback position. And when you bring in a guy like Stidham, at least the defense has to say, well, they're making the switch. They're going away from Newton to go to Stidham. At least the defense has to be on its toes to the point where they're saying, all right, they're going to throw the ball. We've been watching Cam Newton the first 3 to 4 series of the game. We know he can't throw. They're bringing in Jarrett Stidham to change things up and hope he can actually throw the football. So at least we got to respect the pass at least a little bit, right? We got to at least respect the pass a little bit, because why else would they bring in Jarrett Stidham, right? So, and Bill owes it to the team to put Stidham in if this same crap happens again. He owes it to the team. These guys are busting their ass to try to get a playoff spot. You had a bunch of players opt out. The guys that are here, they deserve to be put in the best position to win. This isn't week 3, right? You're not letting Cam Newton play through these things at this point in the season. This is his 11th start on Sunday. If it ain't happening now, it ain't happening. Bottom line, it's not going to happen. If it hasn't happened yet, it's not happening. That light bulb moment we're all hoping for at some point, because Cam Newton keeps telling us all season long, it's going to get better. No, it's not. It's not going to get better. You can't tell me after the Arizona game, where you have a 23 quarterback rating, that stuff's going to improve. It's not. You've been telling us that the whole season. Okay? We're close as an offense. Oh, yeah, we're close. No, you're not. You are not close as an offense. Okay? So that moment, Cam Newton is telling you it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Don't believe him. I don't know how you could believe him. We've been watching the same crap for 10 weeks out of Cam Newton. So if Stidham can come in and give you some sort of jolt, and I know a lot of you point out, well, Stidham, every time he comes in, he doesn't play well. He throws interceptions. Okay, those are not real chances. Jarrett Stidham coming into games late, coming into games to replace quarterbacks, those aren't real opportunities, right? I'm not judging a guy that plays in garbage time for the majority of his career. I can't judge the player on that. Okay, if he gets a heads up this week, if they told Jarrett Stidham this week, which I hope they did, because what Cam Newton's doing is hurting the football team, and if he does the same crap, three three and outs is actually good for Cam, because usually he mixes a turnover in there like he did last week on the first series of the game, because he inexplicably didn't see the blitz. It's amazing how this guy can't see the blitz. It's right in your damn face, you can't see the damn blitz. But anyway, getting back to the original point, if they told Jarrett Stidham, be ready this week, Cam's dealing with an injury, we need you to be ready, then we can actually judge Jarrett Stidham. Okay, if you get a heads up, then you actually have a legitimate chance where Jarrett Stidham knows in his head, okay, I'm preparing as if I'm starting this game. Coming in garbage time, I don't judge a player by that. I mean, come on. That's like when Scal got into games at the end of the Celtics championship season. I'm not comparing those two teams. Or Taco Fall recently, right? We see Taco in meaningless minutes. I'm not judging Taco Fall based on what he does when the crowd goes nuts and they introduce him and the bench gets hyped. I'm not judging Taco Fall, the player, by that. Come on. Give me a break. That's what Jarrett Stidham gets. He goes in garbage time. And so if Cam continues to hurt you, though, it's time, Bill. Make the damn switch. Because I'll tell you this. If you lose to the Chargers and Cam sucks, and then next week on a short week, You go up against one of the better defenses in the NFL, and that's the Los Angeles Rams. And at that particular point in time, if you lose on Sunday, remember, this team will drop to 5-7. You got to turn the keys over to Stidham, right? Like, you don't have a choice. There's no point in playing Cam. The season's done. It's over. Then you give Jarrett Stidham an opportunity either way. And if he actually looks passable, like if he looks like a competent NFL quarterback against the Rams on a short week against a really good defense, that's going to look really bad for Bill Belichick. Like, well, hold on. You had that guy and you didn't even give him a chance? Wait, hold on. You had a quarterback that was barely better than Sam Darnold and Carson Wentz, and you said, we're not going to trot him out there because Cam's our guy, because Cam's our quarterback right now, and we see Jarrett Stidham down the stretch of the season show flashes. The reaction is going to be, well, why the hell didn't you do that earlier? Don't let the playoff chances slip away because you're too damn committed to Cam Newton, who has a shot-put-like throwing motion at this point in time. And look, I can't watch Cam Newton anymore. Just refuse to rip the ball to wide-open receivers when they're there. That's one of the most aggravating things about watching Cam Newton play is, and I'm not telling you he has great weapons. I'm not making it out to be like Cam has this incredible group of receivers and tight ends. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this. There have been times this season where Cam Newton has open receivers and he doesn't throw the football. And why doesn't he do that? Because he has no confidence right now in his own ability to throw the football. It's one of two things, right? It's either he doesn't have the confidence, which that's what I believe it is. He doesn't have the confidence to make a throw, to make a difficult throw, to make a contested throw. He doesn't have the confidence right now. Or the other thing is this, which could be even worse, is he's not seeing it. Either one is horrible. Those are the only two explanations. He doesn't have the confidence from a physicality standpoint that he can actually rip the throw. Or secondly, he's in a position where he's not seeing it. So either way, both of those things are bad. So you're getting ready for a big-time game on Sunday. I could not be more excited. I told you I'm fired up. I'm all in. Let's go. Let's try to make a playoff run here. This is exciting. And after this or before this game, you're going to be watching the 1 o'clock games, the other teams that are competing in terms of the wild card. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be on Red Zone. Be watching that, see who's doing what. Look at my schedule. I get this little piece of paper right now that says all the teams that are in the wild card hunt and who they're playing. I got this thing in front of me. It's awesome. I keep it in front of me when I'm watching the games. I'm scoreboard watching. I'm enjoying myself, man. I never thought I would be. After all these years with the Patriots are the best team in the NFL, and it's not even close, I'm actually enjoying the scoreboard watching. It's kind of like what these other NFL teams have been dealing with for years. Now, next year I'm going to be sick of it, but for a year, like, I can do this. I can be a normal fan. I don't have to be a spoiled fan like we've been for all these years, and we appreciate everything that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have done for us in terms of Patriots fans, but I can do this, okay? But I will not stand for Cam Newton. He goes out there, 3-4 series, and he sucks, and there's not a change. At some point, there needs to be a change. I want to stay competitive, and that means if Jarrett Stidham gives you a better chance on Sunday, you got to make the damn switch. You can't be going 3-out. Oh, and this whole idea of, well, would Bill Belichick, would he lose the locker room if he decides to go to Cam Newton? No, he wouldn't. Because you know what the guys on the Patriots have that is in common with me and with you? We all have eyes. And we're all, just like the Patriots players, we're all watching the games. Like, we see it. And if they make a transition from Cam after three awful series to start the game, you know what the Patriots players are going to think? Even though they love Cam, he's a great leader. He's a great dresser, all this stuff. He's entertaining. He's got nicknames for everybody. You know what they're going to say if Bill makes a move like that, considering who Bill is? Yeah, he thinks that Jared gives us a better chance to win. So this whole thing about, oh, well, Cam's the leader and all this, I don't buy into that whatsoever. Like, you have to massage it with the leaders of the team. Stop. Give me a break. This is Bill Belichick. He's trying to win football games. Let's go. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. All right, the Patriots are dead last in the NFL in one statistical category, and it's not the one I gave you earlier. And I do not believe there's anything right now, at this moment in time, that Bill or Josh McDaniels can do about it. We'll get to it next right here on WEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little? Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
He's very poised in the pocket, and he makes really good decisions. He's not forcing the ball in there. He has some really, really good weapons on the outside. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Guyton Speed, and Eckler and Henry. And he's relying on those guys. When they have shots called up, he's able to push the ball downfield and make some really good throws deep. But if those things are covered, he doesn't hesitate to check the ball down to either Henry or Eckler and let those guys get the ball in their hands and make some yards with it.
All right, that's Jason McCourty on Justin Herbert. Insane rookie for the Los Angeles Chargers. Only problem for him is Anthony Lynn is his head coach. He'll have a new head coach next year. Team's 3-8. Considering the talent on that team, that's absolutely embarrassing. I was thinking about this. And by the way, Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. The number is 617-779-7937. Do you agree with me? If Cam Newton plays poorly the first couple of series of the game, it's time to yank him. Get his ass out of there. Put Jarrett Stidham in the game, somebody that can actually throw the damn football. Okay, that's my solution. If Cam Newton plays poorly the first three series of the game, get him out of the game. The reality of the situation is this. He's had plenty of time to prove himself. He has plenty of time to prove himself this year. We're getting ready for a stretch where the Patriots have to win at least 4 of 5 to have an opportunity just to get in the playoffs, just a chance to get in. He's not playing well. I'm sorry. You got to change things up. You got to give somebody else an opportunity. He's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. And look at this. Think about what an amazing coaching job this would be from Belichick if he got into the postseason. If you look at the Patriots' final five games here, right, as we're scoreboard watching, I'm telling you, enjoy it. Have fun. Scoreboard watching's not bad, I'm telling you. I didn't like it, but now I'm loving it. I'm all in the scoreboard watching. Have fun. Enjoy it. Okay, but anyway, so here's the schedule. You have, of course, the Chargers this week. Quarterback advantage clearly on the side of the Chargers. Herbert's a stud. Thoroughbred. I was wrong about him. I did not think he was going to be great coming out of college, but my God, is this dude incredible. Maybe it tells you more so about what the strategy was there at Oregon. They like to pound the football and run the ball. It's like you kind of get a good quarterback, maybe throw it a little more. But anyway, then you have the Rams. Now, Jared Goff's an up-and-down quarterback, but he's more up than Cam Newton. I would take Jared Goff over Cam Newton in a second right now. I'm not telling you that he has a good contract. The contract sucks, but he's much better than Cam Newton. Let's be real. Okay, then you have the Miami Dolphins. Fitzpatrick right now, if he continues to be the starter, Tua has been dealing with this injury, he's better than Cam. Buffalo, Josh Allen, he's actually a better version than Cam right now. Cam Newton is like a very poor man's Josh Allen right now. Not as fast, not as big as an arm, imposing figure from a physical perspective. But Josh Allen is much better right now than Cam Newton. So that's four. So four games in a row, you're going to be at the quarterback disadvantage. And then you have the New York Jets to end the season. And you have the advantage there. I got to give it to Cam. You're better than Sam Darnold. Congratulations to Cam Newton. Oh, anyway, so I wanted to get to this. Belichick. He was asked earlier this week about the slow starts. And here's what he had to say. Thanks for pointing that out. I appreciate it. We've been working on it. We've been working on it literally every day. So we'll keep working on it and see if we can get better results here and move ahead. Honestly, if I had the answer, I would have done it 10 weeks ago. But right now, we've just still got to perform better early in the game, coaching, playing, find a way to be more productive than we've been. So this has been a theme over the past couple of weeks, the Patriots in terms of their slow starts. Well, actually, they're the worst first quarter team in the entire league. They've been outscored 56 to 21 in the first quarter. They have only entered the second quarter with the lead once. That was in week 9 against the Jets. They've had the lead once entering the second quarter. Think about that. That's tough to do. The Patriots, by the way, they average 1.9 points in the first quarter. The worst in the NFL. They are the worst first quarter scoring team in the sport. And it's because your offense sucks, Bill. That's why, okay? He's asking these questions today, or a couple of days ago, he's telling the media, like, oh, if I knew the answer, I would have fixed it already. Well, I mean, there's not much you can do. Your offense just sucks. Cam Newton's not good. You're 27th in the league in scoring in general at 20.8 points per game. So, yeah, you get better than you are in the first quarter, but it's not like you get much better. These are the teams you're scoring more points than a game than. The Jaguars with Minshew. That dude, Luton, whoever the hell he was, and now Mike Glennon, the dude with the longest neck in the history of the NFL. The Bears with Foles and now Trubisky. Well, I guess it was Trubisky, then it was Foles, now it's Trubisky again. The Giants with Daniel Jones and now Colt McCoy. The Broncos with Drew Lock, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rippon, and that dude Kendall Hinton last week who completed one pass and he had two interceptions. He completed more passes to the other team than his. I actually felt bad for the guy. He's a practice squad receiver. Hadn't played quarterback since like his freshman year. I mean, that was a joke. And then the Jets with Flacco, Darnold, and Adam Gase.
Okay. Seeing ghosts.
Yeah, seeing ghosts. Damn right. So yeah, the first quarter sucks, but the rest of the game isn't great either, Bill. I mean, let's be real. Those scripted plays that used to be so good for the Patriots over the years with Brady and McDaniels, it's just predictable. I mean, we gave you the stats. They run more than anybody else in the NFL on first down. So it's not like teams are coming into the game and they're like, oh, what's Josh got for us today? Yeah, Josh has got a running game. That's what he's going to do. He's going to run the ball. So if you're wondering why you're getting off to slow starts, it's because you're the most predictable team in the NFL. Your offense sucks. You can't throw the football. It's a very easy thing to diagnose. Incredible. I never thought, even with Cam Newton coming in here, and I thought Cam Newton would be much better than he actually has been this season, but I never thought a Belichick coach team would be the most obvious team in terms of first down pass to run ratio. They run more than anybody else. And I never thought they'd be the team that gets off to the slowest starts in the entire sport, which makes it even more amazing if Bill can actually pull this off and get to the postseason. Let's get to Wayne. He's in South Boston tonight. Wayne, what's up, man?
What's up, Brian Barrett, brother? You broke it down so much, man. I got to say my thing, though, man. You're right about everything you just said. 100% right. Nobody. Now, you know what, Brian? Now we know why nobody took Cam. Now yeah. We know why yeah. Nobody took Cam. But besides that, what have I been telling you that Belichick needs to do to put a fire in Cam's butt? What does he need to do? He needs to make him work for his job.
Yeah.
Put Stidham in there, like you said, let him play some plays, then put Cam back out, mix it up, just like New Orleans does with Drew Brees and Taysom. Look how good that worked out, you know what I mean?
Wayne, here's the question.
We know Cam,
Wayne.
I know, we know Cam Newton ain't no, you know,
yeah,
Taysom.
Wayne,
I
hold
know
on
that.
One sec, though. Here's the question I would ask you. Do you even think that would, like, I understand, like, the motivational factor and all that, but I... Like, maybe it would light a fire underneath Cam's ass, but I don't think it'd help him on the field. I just think the guy's done. I think he's damaged goods.
You're right. You're right. He is. Ever since he caught COVID, I mean, the first three games, Cam was really good. I got to give it to him. But something, COVID did something to this guy. I don't know if it took his you know, his inside, his pride or whatever. It's just something really messed with him. Because you can even see in his, when I was watching his press conference yesterday, he's like, you know, he's saying, oh, I'm praying to God. So what he's telling me is that he doesn't even believe himself that he has to ask God to helping him win the game. Do you see what I'm saying, Brian? This guy is burnt out. So if you put Stidham in there, Stidham has a couple of good, you know what I mean? Stidham, then you can go to Bill, and Bill can say, listen, we have to win these games. We're going to bench you right now, Cam. Sorry. The kid Stidham's doing better. But if he does that, you know what I mean? And then if something happens to Stidham, you put him back in. But right now, you've got to light a fire under his butt, like you just said. And I think putting Stidham out there and mixing them both up will make Cam understand that he's not in charge right now. See, he's sitting back thinking, oh, I'm the first guy. They ain't going to do anything to me. And God damn it, too, run the ball. I don't care. Do the sweeps. You know how we used to do the sweeps? Now that we got Sony Michel back, put one guy on one side, another Damien Harris on one side, and throw the ball a little and have the blockers block. You know how Brady used to do that, right? Remember?
Yeah, Wayne, I got to be honest, though. Look, I appreciate the call, Wayne. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. I don't want to see a lot of Sony Michel, okay? I don't need any Sony Michel in my life. We went through that last year. I don't need any of him. I really don't. But and to the point about Cam Newton, though, and I mean, it's a fair point to say, like, all right, maybe this motivates Cam. I just believe the player's done. I don't think he's good anymore. I really don't. If you go out there and you get off to a great start, fine. Keep Cam Newton in the game. But if it what happened last week happens again, you can't keep making the same mistake. He almost cost you the game against Arizona. And if he did, it would have been an irrelevant game that you're playing on Sunday. And he tried to cost you the game. I mean, he threw the late interception to Dre Kirkpatrick. What the hell was that? They were lucky to be able to run on third down because Arizona was so damn stupid. The Patriots were playing for overtime. They didn't call the timeout on second down. You guys did. Freaking idiots, the Cardinals. You knew they were going to run the ball. How did you not know they were going to run the ball? Unbelievable. So you really got a gift and you missed a 45-yard chip shot. So you got away with one last week. If this problem continues for Cam Newton, you got to be able to put Jarrett Stidham in the game. Let's get to Steve in Miami. What's up, Steve?
How you doing, Brian?
Hey.
Hey, first of all, I've been saying all along that Stidham needs to have a shot because when he comes in for first Hoyer and then for Cam, he needs a week where he's actually practicing with the first team. I mean, coming in for mop-up, you know, that's like a relief pitcher. You need to see what he can do.
It's not fair. It's not. I agree with you, Steve, because that's what a lot of people point out is, oh, every time he comes in, he sucks. Hey, that's not fair. I'm not going to judge the player by coming in garbage time. It's not a fair way to judge Jarrett Stidham. If he gets the rest of the season after this game, say hypothetically, Steve, and he starts the rest of the four games after this one and he gets time to prep and then he goes out and sucks, all right, fine. Then we can make a judgment, but not now.
Yeah. Well, I have two more points. One is you mentioned Stidham. I'd like to see, and I know that they've been hurt off and on, but there's been other days and weeks where they've just been inactive or even on the field and not throw the ball to the new tight ends. You got to see what you have. I mean, they're going to go into this offseason, Brian, doing the same thing as last offseason. Not knowing what they have at tight end, not knowing what they have at wide receiver, not knowing what they have in quarterback, because Belichick is loving Cam and not throwing the kids, the Asiasi and Keen, into the fire. You've got to just see what they have. If they suck, you know it. If they don't, maybe they do something. But you're going to go into the offseason, again, not knowing what you have at tight end? I mean, it's ridiculous. The other thing I want to bring up, and you heard it here first.
All right.
Yeah. So first of all, the defense has not nearly been that great. I mean,
I agree. Last week it was, though, Steve. I agree with you for the totality of the season. Yeah. But last week they did play well. They're playing better.
Well, and Baltimore, they were great.
Yes.
Okay. But I'm going to make a prediction right now.
Yep.
First of all, Jason will not be back next year. Jason McCourty.
Oh, no.
I don't think he. And I think his twin, Devin, and I hope not, I think he's going to retire.
Wow.
I think, you know, 2 years ago he was thinking
of
it. He stayed on because of his brother. And after this very, very, very trying season, I could see him saying, hang it up. So you heard it here first.
Yeah, I'll remember that, Steve. Hey, I appreciate the call. I hope you're enjoying Miami right now. I'm sure you are because it's going to snow here tomorrow. I could see that happening. Devin McCourty, remember, they were contemplating not playing this season because of the COVID-19 situation as well. So I could see Devin McCourty hanging him up. Guy's had a great career. He's been a great Patriot. Let's get to Mike in Cranston. What's up, Mike?
Hi, Brian, and thank you for taking my call. And you're very generous with your time to all your callers. That previous caller hit on the point, Asiasi and Keane, but they weren't available because they were on that IR. But they're both eligible this weekend. And, you know, those kids got a tough break because of COVID. So, you know, in a Belichick system, forget about it. You know, so now, you know, maybe by the end of the year, his attitude has always been, you know, you're not a rookie anymore. And hopefully they're getting the reps and they can, you know, do something. Bill with a rookie quarterback, this kid Hebert's been great. But Bill, you know, we've always said, you know, rookie quarterback, and, you know, we'll feast on that. And,
right.
You know, Bill's, you know, he's trying to win every game is a rock fight right now. And remember, you know, Haas Sedler, and he won a Super Bowl.
With the Giants, when he filled in for Phil Sims,
exactly.
Yes.
So that goes back to that whole thing. But, you know, I think the Stidham thing is gaining momentum for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, interestingly enough, my one take is that I think you'll see Josh McDaniels, the next head coach of the LA Chargers. They've got a load of talent.
Ooh, that's an interesting one, Mike.
Yeah, you know, that's my call. That's my
All right, I like it. Mike, I like it. Hey, appreciate the call tonight. I like it. McDaniels to the Chargers. That's kind of juicy. Now, it does make sense from this perspective. You want an offensive coach for Herbert, right? Anthony Lynn can't coach. I'll get into that in greater detail, believe me. I mean, some of the stuff this guy does is absolutely embarrassing. But anyway, my prediction is McDaniels goes to the Bucs because I don't think McDaniels is going to have the market, right? This year, Cam Newton, worst statistical season. So basically, McDaniels' resume is he sucked in Denver. He's been good when he's been the coordinator for Brady. Other than that, he hasn't been great. But the Chargers are a team where it's kind of like, all right, well, you don't have a rabid fan base. You could sell the fact to the Chargers fans, hey, he was with Tom Brady for all these years, and he can help Justin Herbert. Like, maybe he could sell it that way. I still think it's more likely that he ends up with the Buccaneers because Brady gets rid of Arians, and then McDaniels doesn't have the options that you would have thought he would have had a couple of years ago. And also, like, the Chargers job is so appealing. And I know the Jets are going to end up getting Trevor Lawrence, but you can make the argument that the Chargers are the number one option for these coaches. The Eric Bieniemies, the Brian Daboll, he should be up for jobs. Joe Brady, right? I would hire Joe Brady, the guy from Carolina. Dude's unbelievable. He wins a national championship with Burrow. He's making Teddy Bridgewater look good. I mean, come on, that guy's a great candidate. I just believe the Chargers is a very appealing job. It's in LA, and you have Herbert. Kid's an absolute thoroughbred. So I like that idea, though. That's juicy. That's interesting. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. All right, Bill Belichick said something this week that was a hint on who the next Pats quarterback will be. I'll get to that next year on WEI.
This kid Hebert's been great.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
Yeah, he's impressive. You know, very talented player. You know, tall, sees things well, has a good arm, can certainly make all the throws, athletic, definitely escape the pocket, smart. They, you know, do a number of things at the line of scrimmage, seeing check plays, audible against pressure, you know, change plays against, you know, check with me type situations. So, you know, looks like he's going to be a good quarterback for a long time, a lot to work with. And I know he's a smart, hardworking kid that, you know, likes football, and I'm sure he'll continue to get better as he has this year. Throughout the course of the season, he's improved from the early games that I've watched.
All right, so that's Bill Belichick on Justin Herbert. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. 617-779-7937, the number. So what I felt was interesting about what Bill said there is, and by the way, the Patriots evaluated Justin Herbert and they met with him, et cetera. Bill talked about that this week. One of the things he pointed out is he's tall. He said he's a very talented player. He's tall. Bill is a sizes at the quarterback position. He would have never, never taken Tua Tagovailoa. You look at Bill's resume. Brady 6'4", Mallett 6'6", Jimmy G 6'2", who was the shortest guy he drafted. Brissett is 6'4", Castle 6'4", O'Connell 6'5", Stidham 6'3". Justin Herbert, by the way, 6'6". So when you look at this next draft class, right, I want Bill to take a quarterback in the first round. Now, let's see what you have in Stidham, although I'm not, like, in a position where I'm saying, let's bank everything on Stidham. I just feel like Stidham right now gives you a better opportunity than Cam Newton. He can't be worse throwing the football. So my whole thing about the Cam-Stidham dynamic is if Cam goes out there and he falls apart again, like he has the past couple of weeks, and the offense isn't doing anything, and the defense can gear up to stop the running game, and Cam's actually hurting Damian Harris. He's not just hurting the receivers. He's hurting Damian Harris. Damian Harris can't be Damian Harris until Cam Newton can start throwing the ball. Again, that's my whole thing with Stidham. But if you look at this draft class, all these quarterbacks, right, because you're not going to get Fields, you're not going to get Lawrence, we all know this. But here are the other guys, the next group. Kyle Trask, big dude, 6'5". Now, I'm not the biggest fan of Trask. The guy I love is Zach Wilson. He's 6'3". He would be perfect, like, as a Patriot. Stu can throw on the run. He's athletic. He's got a huge arm. By the way, he's playing tomorrow at 5:30. They agreed to a game with Coastal Carolina. I'm going to be watching that tomorrow. Trey Lance, you can't watch him anymore. His season's done. He's 6'4". Mac Jones is 6'3". Now, I know that he's got the relationship with Nick Saban. Mac Jones, not very athletic. And I know Brady wasn't either, but you've seen the Patriots, these recent draft picks. It's not that they're looking for the uber athletic quarterback, but look at Jimmy G. Can move a little bit, right? Not a great athlete, but he can run bootlegs and stuff with Jimmy G. Same thing with a guy like Jarrett Stidham. He can get out there a little bit and throw the football on the run. He can move a little bit. So I think what now, with the new modern NFL, he's looking for a little bit more of an athletic quarterback, but he made it abundantly clear. One of the first things, in fact, the second thing he said, after he said he's impressive on Justin Herbert, he said he's tall. He pointed out the height. So you know that Belichick is not one of these guys that makes exceptions at the quarterback position. Like, he would have never drafted Kyler Murray number one overall. And look, Murray's a really good player, but think about what you have to be. If you're a small quarterback in this league, Drew Brees is the most accurate passer we've ever seen, right? So Drew Brees, that's how he's successful. Most accurate passer ever, ever, okay? Russell Wilson is an insane athlete. Could have been a professional baseball player. Same thing with Kyler Murray. That's what it takes to be a small, diminutive quarterback. You got to be either the most accurate quarterback in the history of the league in Drew Brees, incredible athletes like Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray that could have played professional baseball. Murray was a top 10 pick, 7th overall to the A's. That's why the Tua thing, I'm not so sure about that. Not an incredible athlete, not a big arm. Like, think about that if you're the Dolphins right now. And I know that the Dolphins beat the Chargers this year, but think about it if you're the Dolphins. Oh, hold on. This dude's 6'6". He's throwing on the running, throw the ball down the field. He's more durable than Tua. Didn't have injuries in college. Tua did. Did we screw this one up? You got to think about that if you're the Dolphins. Because remember, they took Tua ahead of Herbert. Let's get to Mike. He's in North Providence. Hey, Mike.
How you doing, Brian?
Good.
Yeah, with regards to making the move over to Stidham, one of the things I'm focused on is the effect on the receiving core itself.
Mm-hmm.
These guys like you were bringing up, say, somebody like N'Keal Harry and low receiving totals. Well, I mean, he doesn't throw the ball to himself either. You know, I mean, there you see on the replays of some of these things, sometimes he is wide open.
And, yeah, you know, no, there's plenty of times like that. And, Mike, even if I go back to the Texans game, there was a play where Cam threw it to him late. If he threw it to him early, he could have easily picked up the first down, and it was like a third and 14 opportunity. So there's been plenty of times where Cam has put the receivers in bad situations as well. And if you do want to evaluate these receivers going forward, and if you want the best for the receivers and the weapons as well, Stidham may be the better play there.
Well, it's just watching Cam play, I don't know exactly what's going on with him, but he is not seeing the field.
No, he's
and he
not.
Just seems to be just thinking in a glacial pace sometimes.
Yeah,
it's just like he's and you know his footwork isn't the best anyway, so he's not particularly ready to throw even when he does see somebody. It takes a while for him to get rid of the ball.
Yeah, and, Mike. He throws sometimes with like his chest and his abdomen like facing the player, like he's not set to throw. It's very bizarre watching him throw, and it looks difficult too. Like it's almost like a shot put. He's throwing the football, and he used to have at least like when he came into the league. He had good arm strength. He was never an accurate quarterback, but now it seems like as he's aged and he doesn't pay any attention to his mechanics, it's really affecting him.
And one of the things that's interesting is people like to bring up that his completion percentage on the season is relatively good, but I think it's almost kind of like his completion percentage is kind of like how DeAndre's field goal percentage is high, DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, where, you all know, dunks, right?
Yeah, it's all dunks. It's an inordinate number of screen passes and things like that,
yeah,
which, you know, a normal quarterback who's stretching the field and throwing 30 yards downfield sometimes and spreading the ball around, his completion percentage of, like, you know, 65% is completely different than what Cam's doing.
Yeah.
He's constantly just shooting layups.
Yeah, and, Mike, a lot of those completions, too, that you point out, like, for example, the screen passes – he may complete those, but he throws them poorly. Like, he doesn't put the ball out in front of James White. James White's got to reach behind and make the catch and then run. So he's actually costing you yardage with those passes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's like at this point of the season, he's got 4 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. I mean,
it's incredible.
You know, and it's amazing that they're winning. I mean,
yeah.
He seems like a nice guy. And I would say that maybe you could have him be like with earlier callers, and they've talked about this, you know, the Taysom Hill thing, where he has like a place in the NFL, but as he's certainly not like full time every down starting material, at least right now. And honestly, maybe his shoulder injury was going to stop him from ever being that guy again.
Yeah, could be that. Mike, appreciate the phone call tonight. And the other thing you would say about, somebody mentioned Taysom Hill, and Mike alluded to it as well. It's got to be the other way around, right? Like, Cam Newton would be the Taysom Hill role. He would be like the Jacoby Brissett role for the Indianapolis Colts, where if you've watched any Colts football this year, he comes in on 3rd and 1. He comes in on 3rd and 2, 4th and 1 to pick up the first down, right? Because he's way more athletic than Phillip Rivers. Heck, I'm more athletic than Phillip Rivers. But you would have to have Jarrett Stidham being the main guy, being the entree, and Cam Newton's the dessert that comes in to pick up 3rd and 1. Because that's really all Cam Newton's good at right now. Let's be real. That's the only thing Cam Newton's good at. You can look at, well, the leadership stuff, right? He's a good leader. He's accountable, all that crap. No, I shouldn't say crap. It's a wrong way to put it. But he's a good leader. Guys like him. Guys gravitate to him. So that's all there. But the only thing he's actually good at on the football field right now, he's not even a good runner. I'm watching Robert Griffin III the other day. Bob Griffin hasn't played in ages. That dude is way faster than Cam right now. He's a way better runner. He ended up pulling his hamstring, probably because he hasn't run in ages. But anyway, as I get back to the original point here, as it pertains to Newton, he's not even a good runner anymore. He really isn't. I know he has a bunch of rushing touchdowns on the season. What is it, 9 he has in total? But those are in short yardage situations. He's not busting off like 25, 30, 40-yard runs. He doesn't have that explosive element anymore. So really, the only area he's good at in terms of on the football field, it's short yardage runs. All right, a lot more to get into, including this. So I'm very worried about Cam Newton. I've told you that. How could you not be right now? If you're not worried about Cam Newton right now, sorry, you're an idiot. If you're not worried about Cam, you're a complete idiot. But anyway, I do believe the Patriots will win for a couple of reasons on Sunday. I'll tell you why next here on WEI.
Yeah, he's tall.
This is WEEI Late Night with Brian Barrett.
I don't really see us having a head coach.
Those two guys have huge responsibilities. They're clearly guys that, you know, have made huge plays all the way throughout their career and will continue to do so. That said, you know, I think the Celtics are Boston's team.
To this day, I don't think the Eagles have been able to replace me. And to this day, I don't think the Patriots have been able to replace me.
You know, the way that I played yesterday is unacceptable.
All right, welcome in. Brian Barrett with you. Up until midnight, if you want to join us, the number to do so is 617-779-7937. I would agree with Cam that the way he's been playing has been embarrassing. And by the way, even if you disagree with me in terms of if Cam plays poorly, Bill should have a quick trigger and turn things over to Stidham based on the fact that we have no evidence that Cam Newton's going to turn things around. Heck, his 10th game of the season, which was last week because he missed the one game against the Chiefs, that's the worst game he's played besides the San Francisco game, which was one of the worst games we've ever seen from an NFL quarterback where he had the yips, he threw a bunch of interceptions, and he was benched, right? I mean, there's been two games where he has played so poorly. It's amazing they won last week. But even if you disagree with me that Bill should pull the trigger and give Stidham a chance, if we see that same crap again from Cam, you have to acknowledge it's a valid question. He's been one of the worst passers in the entire league. Outside of Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, maybe Drew Lock, although Drew Lock came to Foxborough and beat him, how many other starters would you take over Cam? Or would you take Cam over, I should say? Maybe Trubisky? I mean, Trubisky's not good. And I'm not talking about like Brandon Allen with the Bengals because he's not really the starter, right? Joe Burrow got injured. I'm not talking about Andy Dalton because their quarterback is supposed to be Dak. You only have a handful of guys across the league that you would take over Cam Newton. That's why it's definitely a valid question right now. If Cam continues to do what he's been doing for the majority of the season, which is sucking in the passing game, you got to give Jarrett Stidham his chance. And if you really look at it, it's got to be embarrassing for Cam, right? His career is going completely in the wrong way right now. And it was obviously embarrassing for him in the offseason. He's got that whole documentary coming out, 86 Days, where he didn't have a job. Remember this? The whole documentary? I don't know how good that documentary is going to be. It's not like a redemption story. It's like, oh, started a bunch of games for the Patriots and you weren't good. I don't know how great that documentary is going to be. But now we're talking about replacing Cam with Jarrett Stidham, a guy, remember, that Cam gave advice to when Stidham was a quarterback at Auburn. Stidham's a fourth-round pick. You're Cam Newton. You're a former MVP. You should be in your prime at 31 years old, and now a fourth rounder may be a better option than you. And the Pats wanted this to work out with Cam. They've done everything to protect Cam and compliment Cam. I mean, Bill's given him some praise over and over again. I mean, think about it. He never gave Tom Brady any praise. Remember, Giselle wanted Tom Brady to stop being treated like Johnny Foxborough. He never gave Tom Brady praise, and he praises Cam all the time. Oh, he's a great worker. He works on the stuff he's not great at. He's a leader. Everybody gravitates him to, like, how many times was Bill Belichick going to compliment Cam Newton this season? Now, in terms of the injury that Cam's dealing with, the abdomen thing, I believe it's more about making it easier to go from Cam to Stidham in the game, to give Cam an out like, oh, he's not playing because of the injury. And maybe they can even convince Cam, like, yeah, Cam, we can tell you can't make these throws because we know the abs hurt. The abs hurting, right? That abdomen is really bothering you, Cam, right? Like, maybe they can even convince Cam of it. But I also believe part of that is this as well. Bill realizes the player is sucking so badly on a weekly basis. He realizes that Cam's confidence is just completely broken. The whole act he puts on to the media about, and he does it on the Greg Hill Show every week, the feeling that he says every week when he addresses the media, it's indescribable how he's feeling. I think he means indescribable, by the way, not indescribable. But anyway, he always talks about the fact that he's in a great mood and he's projecting this like happy aura, so to speak. There's no chance he can be that happy right now with the way he's playing. I'm not telling you he's telling you that he's playing great. I'm just saying, like, he's always so positive and upbeat. It's a facade at this point. There's no way he can be that happy with the performance he's putting on there. He keeps telling us it's going to get better. Like, we all have eyes. We watch the games every Sunday. We know it's not getting better because last week it got worse, right? So Cam, despite saying all the right things and projecting this confidence, the player has lost his confidence on the field. He's petrified to pull the trigger at times. And I get why. He's throwing the ball to the other team like Drake Kirkpatrick last week. Good God, was that bad. I mean, what a terrible interception, right? But by Bill putting him on the injury report, that is also Bill trying to boost the player's confidence. He puts him on there with the ab injury, and it's like, Cam, we're thankful you're gutting it out, man. Maybe it's something where he's playing, I don't want to say mind games, because that would kind of give a negative connotation.
but he's trying to get into the player's psyche. Like, we know Cam doesn't have confidence right now. Maybe if we acknowledge the fact that he's been dealing with this awful abdomen issue this season, it'll project some confidence. Like, Cam, we're thankful you're going out there each and every week. Maybe that's what Bill's trying to do as well. It makes Cam look tougher, right? Like, look at Cam Newton. He's battling through this injury. There's a reason he didn't play great. It's because he's been dealing with an injury, right? To try to motivate the player, to try to get the player thinking more positively. Because as much as he projects this positive persona right now, and I understand he's a positive person, but there's no way he feels confident on the football field right now. How could he? How could he feel confident right now? If you were that bad at your job right now, would you feel confident going to work every day? No, you wouldn't. So there's no way that Cam Newton can feel confident. This whole idea that he keeps saying, oh, it's going to get better. No, it's not, man. We've seen it all season long. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Mike and Maynard. What's up, Mike?
You mean Mike in Framingham?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. I got a different city here up on your screen call.
Sorry.
You're in Framingham. What's up, Mike?
Threw me a curve.
Sorry, man.
Listen, this guy is responsible for a huge increase of anxiety medication and stroke medication.
Every time
this guy drops back, every time he drops back, you hold your chest.
Yeah.
Or you're peeking out of one eye. It's a shame. Here's the problem he has. He hangs on to the ball too long, and I know why. Because he's lost the ability and the accuracy to zip the ball in when coverage is tight.
Yep.
You know, you want a quarterback that can drill the ball in. You know, you'd love for every time he drops back, you've got clear, open receivers. And really, he misses those as well.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't pick them up. But when the quarterback starts losing that ability to zip that ball in tight coverage, you're in trouble. And, you know, his running is, I think, is, I'd say he's about as three-quarters of what he once was, if even that. That's,
yeah, Mike, he's only good right now in short yardage situations. Even if you've seen it over the past couple weeks, they're not even running him that much.
No. And you were right earlier, and other people were right. He's struggling with even the easy passes. The receivers have to do acrobats to get to his passes.
Oh, Mike, I mean, have you seen him throw a screen? He throws darts at James White. It's like, dude, put a little loft on that thing. This is a screen pass.
You know,
it's incredible.
I feel for the guy. You know, I think,
yeah, he seems like a good dude. I agree with you.
Yeah, but you know what? We like to win. You know,
right.
And I'll tell you what, Stenham has never really gotten the chance. You're going to fail. He's going to make mistakes. Once I think this guy gets comfortable, because I like his release, I like his scrambling, once he can get comfortable and feel confident, I think the guy will bloom. And I've always thought that. I've always been surprised
that he didn't give
me more of a chance.
Yeah, Mike, that remains to be seen. I appreciate the phone call. My whole thing with Stidham is this. We all know that the organization lost confidence in him during the offseason. But something happened. Maybe it was just Brian Hoyer's ineptitude in terms of at the end of the half against the Chiefs, not realizing he didn't have a timeout, and he took the sack. That took points off the board. Then he gets the strip sack in the third quarter. That took points off the board. But remember, Jarrett Stidham started the season as the third stringer. He wasn't dressing. That's why Hoyer started against the Chiefs and not Stidham. But ever since then, Stidham's been the guy behind Cam Newton. So clearly Stidham, in their eyes, has finally proved that he's better than Brian Hoyer, which I know it's not an amazing feat, but there could be a possibility that over the past 4 to 6 weeks or so, and think about it from our perspective, just watching Cam Newton each and every week. He can't throw, right? Jarrett Stidham's at practice every day. They could be looking at Stidham at practice and say, well, he throws a much better ball. And at this point in the season with Cam Newton, we've seen enough garbage in terms of the passing game that if you keep doing this crap where it's 3-4 series into the game and he's throwing the ball into the ground or he's throwing it to the other team like he did last week and he doesn't pick up the blitz, it may be time to just give Stidham an opportunity, because now the problem with Cam is he's really affecting the running game negatively. The past 2 weeks, the running game has not been great, and it's because of Cam. Defenses are just daring you to throw the football, and Cam can't do it, and sometimes he won't even do it. He won't pull the trigger. I did want to get to this, though. So I believe the Patriots are going to win this game. One way or the other, whether it's Cam Newton, Jarrett Stidham comes in, they're going to find a way to do this. And one of the reasons is the coaching mismatch. Lynn is atrocious. So did you happen to see what happened to Anthony Lynn at the end of the Bills game last week. So here's the thing. They were down 27-17 with a minute left. Okay? 27-17 with a minute left in the game. So obviously, there was close to no chance they're winning, but how about this for clock management? Herbert completes a pass to Ty Johnson, goes for about 55 yards. They get all the way down to the Bills' two-yard line. Do the Chargers. They have no timeouts. So they rush up to the two naturally. They're sprinting. They're getting up there. And by the time they snap the ball, there's about 24 seconds left because it takes you a while to get down the field after a 55-yard play, right? So 24 seconds left. Again, no timeouts. You have three chances to throw the ball into the end zone there, right? Hopefully you score quickly on your first down, so then you can get an onside kick, and hopefully you can get it, and maybe you throw, maybe you get in field goal range, right? Like, I get it. The odds to win this game, very small, but the point being, you got to the two-yard line with 24 seconds left. You need to throw the ball because you have no timeouts. On first and goal, with no timeouts, with 24 seconds left in the game, you know what the Chargers did? They ran the ball. You're down two scores with 24 seconds left, and you ran the ball with no timeouts on first and goal. That's a fireable offense right there. And by the way, they didn't get in, obviously. Unreal. So then they don't run their next play because they ran it and they didn't get in. The clock went from 24 seconds to 8 seconds. Incredible. So 16 seconds in between plays. And the next play you throw an... I mean, really think about it, right? So if you just go up there and you throw an incomplete pass, you take, what, 4 seconds off the play clock or the game clock? So it's 20 seconds left. No harm, no foul. All right, you didn't get in on the first time. Go back on second down and try to complete a pass. But the fact that they ran the ball there, that's inexcusable coaching. Anthony Lynn was asked about it after the game. You know what his response was? This guy's a clown. If the clock management was an issue, his response, I wouldn't say that. I would sit down and talk you through every one of our decisions. I'm not saying that it's been perfect at all, but what happened today at the end of the game was just a miscommunication. A miscommunication. Coach, there's 24 seconds left in the game. You don't have a timeout. You're down two scores. You can't run the ball there. You cannot run the football. You need to throw the ball. Incredible. This guy has no idea what he's doing whatsoever. Oh, by the way, this week, so Anthony Lynn was doing a press conference. There's something wrong. They are inherently broken. This team loses more close games than anybody else in the NFL over the past few years. This is what he said this week. The playoff hunt probably isn't going to happen at this point. 8-8 is the best we can do, and I don't think that's going to be good enough. I mean, like, all right, he's right. Even if they run the table, they're not getting into the postseason, right? But what type of idiotic coach talks that way? He says it probably isn't going to happen. He doesn't think 8-8's good enough. Yeah, we all agree with you, coach, but you sound like a fan talking about your team. Yeah, the chances aren't there this year. Yeah, it ain't happening. But a coach in the NFL doesn't talk that way. He says, you know what, we're just focused on getting better each and every week. We can control what we can control. We're going to try to go out there every Sunday and win. That's what you say if you're an NFL coach. You don't go out there to your press conference and talk to the media and come across and say, you know, playoffs probably aren't going to happen. That's not what you say. You say we're going to try to improve each and every week, control what we can control. Guy's clueless. Oh, by the way, the other reason I think that the Patriots went on Sunday, Bill's record is 19-5 about against rookie quarterbacks, 19-5. And I know Herbert's had a great season, unbelievable season, but Bill's going to confuse him. And the defense found something last week. It isn't just that they're healthy now. It was the scheme that was really effective last week. So 2 weeks ago, horrible game plan by Bill Belichick. They barely blitzed Deshaun Watson, and they were burned by Watson. And they didn't make an adjustment, which was stunning, because Watson was eating them alive in the first half, and they weren't blitzing, and they didn't start blitzing in the second half, right? I get the original game plan for the Patriots in that game was, well, hey, last year Deshaun Watson killed us when we blitzed him, so they didn't want to blitz as much. Okay, I understand that going into the game, but at some point, especially Belichick, who's the greatest in the history of the sport, at halftime adjustments, right? He didn't make an adjustment. Okay, why don't you heat him up in the second half? They never did it. It made no sense. But last week what we saw was with your defense pretty healthy, Bill had a great game plan. He decided, all right, we're going to heat up Kyler Murray, a young quarterback. We're going to speed up his internal clock. He wasn't able to do anything in the passing game. And look, he was compromised from a health perspective. I acknowledge that. But per ESPN stats and info, he was blitzed on 35% of his dropbacks last week, and he was just 6-for-11 with an interception and a sack. So he sucked when he was heated up by Bill Belichick last week. And as great as Herbert is, incredible. 301 yards per game, 23 touchdowns, 7 picks. A great season. Incredible. Really, statistically, one of the greatest rookie seasons we've seen. He has a quarterback rating of 100 with a completion percentage of 67. This guy is great, okay? But anyway, this is going to be different from him. So Herbert has been really good against the blitz most of the season until the Miami game 3 weeks ago. In fact, during that game, he was the third. Before that game, he was the third-rated quarterback against the blitz. And then Miami figure, all right, he's good against the blitz. He's going to be okay against Miami. No, he wasn't. So in that game against the Dolphins, they heated him up. He threw just for 187 yards, his season low, on 32 attempts, 2 touchdowns, and a costly interception late. So just a buck 87 with a critical interception late when they blitzed him. After the game, Herbert said this: Miami did a great job disguising their looks. Those guys fly around on defense. So Herbert admitted he was confused by the Dolphins' defense. He admitted that after the game by what he said. Those guys fly around on defense. They did a great job disguising their looks. Here's what the coach, the brilliant Anthony Lynn, said after the game. The team pressure is more than anybody else in the NFL. They brought a lot of stuff. There's only so many things you can do. Coach, there's only so many things you can do. You can try to help your quarterback. He said, they challenged our protection, and at times we did not protect very well. At times they brought one more than we could block. I mean, okay, coach, if they keep blitzing, maybe put an extra guy in there to help your quarterback. How about you help protect the kid? So here's the thing. Justin Herbert's going to have to do this on his own as a 22-year-old on Sunday. The coach isn't giving him any help. His explanation after the last time Herbert played poorly, which was really the only time he played poorly this season, was against Miami, against Brian Flores, a Bill Belichick disciple who blitzed him. The head coach, his explanation was, well, sometimes they brought one more than we could block. Coach, that means that somebody's open. There's a hot route and he wasn't able to hit a hot route. Like, maybe you should look at this and try to help the quarterback out. Maybe bring in an extra guy in terms of protection to help your quarterback, right? So I don't trust Anthony Lynn to be able to scheme up the protection against Bill Belichick when Belichick just blitzed a ton last week against Kyler Murray. He's going to disguise his looks. He's going to give Herbert fits. And the problem for Herbert is this. He doesn't have the help on the sideline. Maybe next year when he gets a better coach in there and there's going to be a ton of guys that are going to be interested in him and going for a guy like Justin Herbert, there's going to be a ton of coaches that say, holy crap, that guy is so damn talented. I'd be lucky to coach him and I can scheme it up and it's going to be great. But this year he's got Anthony Lynn. He's got Anthony Lynn, who with 24 seconds left in the game when he was down 2 scores, he decided, yeah, it's probably a good idea to run the ball here from the 2-yard line. You need 2 scores, you idiot. You absolute clown. This guy does not know how to coach. He has no idea what's going on in terms of how to coach, how to manage a clock. His explanation, I mean, come on, man. They brought more than we could block. I mean, the explanation should be after the game. We got to coach it better. We got to help out our young quarterback more. We did not do a good job in protection. We did not do a good job scheming things up. You got royally outcoached. You got outcoached by Brian Flores. What do you think Bill Belichick is going to do on Sunday? He's going to do the exact same thing that Brian Flores did, because Brian Flores' game plan was the only good game plan, or I should say not the only good game plan, but the only game plan that slowed down Justin Herbert at all this season. So what do you think Belichick's going to do? He's going to say, all right, let's bring in some exotic blitzes. Let's blitz from different areas. We know Belichick's capable of that. And now his secondary is relatively healthy and Gilmore's back. And he looked good last week. Obviously, him and Hopkins had the matchup going back and forth. They're going to bring the heat and they're going to bring it from different areas. And Justin Herbert's going to be confused. And when he goes to the sidelines, he doesn't have a coach over there that's going to be able to say, hey, this is what you're doing wrong. This is what we need to do. Oh, this is how we're going to scheme it up. They're not capable over there with the Chargers. Let's get to Phil in New Bedford. What's up, Phil?
Hey, brother. Yeah, we talked about this in week 6. It's confidence and focus, which to me is like identical twins. If you can't bounce back from that, you have a trash for the rest of the year. And maybe this is the end of his career, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely, Phil, the end of his career as a starter. Look, I mean, he had no market.
Because he didn't bounce back.
Right.
He's human. We also said that. But when you don't bounce back 5 or 6 weeks down the road.
Yeah, I mean,
and
Phil,
all the results that we see.
Phil, really, if you think about it, how many times has Cam Newton played well this season? I would say he played well in week 1 against Miami when they asked him to run the ball a lot and some short passes, etc. He played really well against the Seattle Seahawks. That was in week two. He was not good against the Raiders.
Yeah, that was impressive. Absolutely. Yeah, that, right? I was like, hey, maybe there's a chance here.
But look, he was not good against the Raiders, even though they won the football game. And since then, he's had a couple of okay games. Like, he was okay against the Texans, but also at the end of the game, he didn't pick up the blitz on fourth down and in third down. He got his fifth pass batted down of the day. So really, the only two
games... And in the NFL, okay doesn't buy it week to week.
Exactly. So the point is, Phil, he's had more awful games, more horrible games than he's had good games this season. And by the way, he's getting worse as the season goes on rather than getting better.
And wear and tear of no focus and no confidence.
Yeah, he has no confidence.
And
right
we
now.
See the results every week. Yep.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Yeah, no problem, Phil. Appreciate it. He has no confidence. I mean, that goes without saying right now. He's not a confident player. As much as he tries to project that, and he should be trying to project that, he's the quarterback of the team. As much as he tries to project that, look at him on the field. He's afraid to throw the ball at times. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. All right, if you want to weigh in on the Patriots, still can, but I want to get to this. Brad Stevens said something today that once again proves he does not get the NBA. We'll get to it next here on WEI.
We're right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
Those two guys have huge responsibilities. They've got a great deal of responsibility as part of, you know, this team and as the with the roles that they play on this team. I mean, they're clearly guys that, you know, have made huge plays all the way throughout their career and will continue to do so. That said, you know, I think the Celtics are Boston's team, and we're all trying to play whatever role that we can to do our part to represent Boston well. And I think that, you know, some guys will obviously get much of the attention. But at the end of the day, it's one of the things that I really like about both those guys is that it's, you know, I don't think they're as concerned about whose team it is or any of that stuff. I think it's more about we're all one team and we represent the Celtics and our responsibility is to that.
All right. So that's Brad Stevens. My word. That sounds like something he's just putting out there for the fan base, right? It's nobody's team. We're Boston's team, man. It's so damn corny. We're Boston's team. It isn't one guy's team. It's Boston's team, baby. Get the green teamers going, Brad. It's a college answer is what it is. That's what you hear from a college basketball coach. Grow up, Brad. Grow up. You're coaching in an NBA city. This is Jason Tatum's team. Your team is not your team. It's Jason Tatum's team. It's not Boston's team. It is Jason Tatum's team. That is how the NBA works.
The Celtics are Boston's team.
No! Bottom line, end of story. This is a superstar-driven league. This is how the NBA works. It is a players' league. It is a superstar league. It is Jason Tatum's team. And it's great you can say all this stuff because I know the green teamers right now are loving it. Oh, you're an idiot, man. This is our team. This is Boston's team. That's what Brad's saying. It's Jason Tatum's team. Let's be real. This whole attitude that Brad has, by the way, it's really hurt him in the past. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody's on an equal playing field. This egalitarian offense. I've called him Brad, Bernie Sanders, Stevens. Everybody gets a shot, right? Brad, here is what Brad needs to realize. Your attitude, your way, it needs to change. Your system needs to change. This league is about making superstars happy and putting those players in the most advantageous position to win. So what you need to be doing, if you're Brad Stevens, is altering your offense to get the most out of Jason Tatum and get the most out of Jaylen Brown. Those are your two best players. They should have the ball in their hands more so than anybody else, and that includes Kemba Walker with his bum knee. We don't even know when he's going to come back. That's how the NBA operates. Your two best players have the ball in their hands more so than anybody else. That's how you win championships in the NBA. It's LeBron and Anthony Davis. It's LeBron and Dwayne Wade. It's LeBron and Kyrie Irving. It's Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. It is Kawhi Leonard, and I guess his sidekick was like Kyle Lowry or Pascal Siakam. This is how the NBA works. There's a clear pecking order. There's a clear hierarchy. You don't win in the NBA playing a college-style system where everybody eats and everybody gets an opportunity. That's not how it works. And I get that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they say all the right things, and Tatum says, I'm just like everybody else. I show up to work, and I do my job to the best of my ability. We got a bunch of talented guys. I'm happy to be part of this team. So, yeah, he's going to say all the right things. He's not going to come out and say, this is my team. Nobody says crap like that, but let's be real. This is now his team, and he's just 22 years old. And just wait a couple of months. This is what I'd say to Brad Stevens. Wait a couple of months because now you've given Jason Tatum the max, and they should give Jason Tatum the max. I'm not arguing that. He was a top 15 player in the league last year. He was an all-NBA performer. He deserves the max. I mean, this is the one thing that you should be proud of recently as an organization. You landed the best player in the 2017 draft, right? I mean, you hit on Jason Tatum. You were able to nail that draft selection where you said, yeah, we're not so sure about Markelle Fultz. And Danny Ainge deserves a lot of credit for this because most GMs around the league had Markelle Fultz as the number one player. Danny Ainge didn't. Danny Ainge said, yeah, I like Tatum more. He moved back to number three, picked up an additional asset, and nailed the pick. And he could not be more right about taking Jason Tatum over Markelle Fultz. Fultz is playing for Orlando, coming off the bench. Okay, Lonzo Ball's on his second team. That's another guy that went ahead of Jason Tatum in that draft. He could not be more right about that. But now going forward, after you give this guy a max contract, and when you give him that money, and you pay him the most money of anybody on the team, that signifies not just by giving him the contract, but it signifies, though, yeah, I'm the guy now. Jason Tatum's now the guy. He's getting paid all the money. He got the bag. He's the guy now. He wants to be an all-NBA performer again this season so he can qualify for that additional money. So instead of making around $160, he can make closer to $200 million. That's what Jason Tatum, that's part of the equation now. And he wants to be put in advantageous situations that highlight his skill set. So when you get into a playoff series, this is what I'd say to Brad Stevens. When you get into a playoff series and you're going at it with Philly or Toronto or Miami or Milwaukee, whoever it is, and Marcus Smart takes 22 shots like he did in an elimination game last year against the Heat. Now going forward, after you give Jason Tatum this contract, and by giving him this contract, you're telling him he's the guy. And as I said, he should get this contract. He should be the guy. This is how the NBA works. And he's a great player with all kinds of potential. Still, he's 22. Look at what he's already done in the league. But if Marcus Smart takes 22 shots in an elimination game, or even if Kemba Walker at the end of the game tries to take over like he did last year at times and just fail because he's not the same athlete that he once was, there's going to be repercussions for your actions, Brad Stevens. You need to feature Jason Tatum and feature Jaylen Brown at the end of games. You have to adjust how you think, right? What Marcus Smart did in the postseason last year, it is unacceptable. He should not be shooting that much. And that's on the head coach because the head coach has empowered Marcus Smart. The head coach and really Danny Ainge as well. Danny Ainge, whenever he mentions like the core guys of the team, he always mentions Marcus Smart. They've created a monster with Marcus Smart. Guy's a great defensive player. Nobody would dispute that. But he thinks he's on the same level as Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in terms of the offense. And the reality of the situation is there is no game where Marcus Smart should ever be taking 20 shots, especially an elimination game against the Miami Heat. He took 22 shots. He took more shots than Jaylen Brown did. The only guy that took more shots than him in the game was Jason Tatum. There, in no world should Marcus Smart be second on the team in field goal attempts in an elimination game. Come on. What an absolute joke that was. So Brad Stevens now, he's got to adjust things because here's the reality of this now. You have the player under contract. He is the superstar. Jaylen Brown is starting his extension this year, 4 years and $107 million. This is the first year of his new contract. Remember, last year he was still on his rookie contract, okay? So if things aren't going the way that they want it to go, even though Danny Ainge loves Brad Stevens and they gave him that extension before the bubble, Brad Stevens is going to have to go if they're not getting along with the coach and they feel like the coach, they don't like his system. Okay, he's going to have to go if that happens down the road where these guys are aggravated and they're frustrated. I'm sorry, in the NBA, you don't choose the coach over the player. So it's great that Brad Stevens had this egalitarian offense when he was coaching at Butler and everybody gets a chance. And maybe you have to do that when you can't really recruit at a high level at Butler, right? It's not like you're at Kentucky where you're just picking McDonald's All-Americans left and right and the coach is the biggest star of the team. And I'm not telling you that Brad Stevens wants attention or anything along those lines. He doesn't have that personality. But the problem is you got to adjust your system for superstars because you go back to that issue that they had in the locker room after game two. You know what that's about? That's about shots. That's about guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker not being happy. And maybe they would never admit it, but they're not happy when Marcus Smart is shooting as much as he was. He's legitimately hurting the team when he takes that many shots. And at some point, Brad Stevens has got to get it in his head. You can't be doing this. If Marcus Smart just embraced his role, he had been an incredible player. If he just embraced playing defense, take about 8 to 10 shots a game, the team would be much better off. But the problem is they've created a monster because Brad Stevens has enabled and empowered Marcus Smart to feel like he's on the same level as Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And the reality is, he ain't. He ain't even close to that level offensively, right? So Brad Stevens is going to adjust his thinking. The other thing I would mention, too, the bad news that came out this week, of course, about Kemba Walker, that's a disaster. That is a horrible contract. And this isn't me second-guessing. I said the day they signed Kemba, it was a dumb contract because he had three procedures on the knee. He basically had an arthritic knee, and that's what he has now. He had a stem cell injection. That's because he has arthritis in his knee. Trying to regenerate cartilage, trying to make it comfortable for him going forward. See, with me going forward now with Kemba, I'm just not envisioning him being a major piece of the puzzle. I'm sorry, I'm not. The best you can get out of Kemba Walker is 20, 25 minutes a night. And if you do that, maybe you can keep him healthy for the postseason. And in some of these games, you can put him in against second unit and say, oh, Kemba gave you something. Because right now, can't get anything out of the player in terms of you can't expect him to go 40 minutes a night. Right? I mean, it was four different occasions last year he was dealing with a knee issue. Maybe he comes back from the injury and he feels great. But here's the thing. How long is that going to last? Because we saw them try everything last year. Nothing worked. The reality, too, is Kemba Walker, complete liability defensively. We saw it in the postseason last year. I'm not saying he's a dog. Like, he tries. I'm not telling you he's like James Harden who doesn't try on defense. But he's just too small. Diminutive in stature. They take advantage of him in the postseason. So when I look at Kemba Walker long term, his best attribute to this team may be like that Energizer Bunny score off the bench. That may be his best role. The Vinny Johnson, the microwave off the bench, right? That may be Kemba's best role because he can't play defense and he cannot play like 32, 33 minutes a night anymore. It's just, this is where you're at. And you got to try to salvage the contract because you can't trade him. Nobody's trading for that contract right now. Danny tried to trade him in the offseason. No suitors. Remember, they were trying to trade for a bunch of picks so then they could pick up Jrue Holiday after they got the picks. Nobody was open to taking Kemba Walker because nobody believes in him from a health perspective. They gave Gordon Hayward money. They didn't give Kemba money. Why do you think that was the case? Why do you think Charlotte decided not to give Kemba the supermax that he was eligible for, $220 million? They only offered him $160. They had the medicals. They knew the knee was not going to hold up. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. All right, when we come back, we got to get to this. Our old friend Kyrie Irving, once again, thinks he's smarter than everybody else. Dude is an absolute clown. We'll hit it next right here on WEA.
We're right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
Steve is great, and I have a relationship with him that's going to build over time, bro. Steve don't know me from anything he heard or, you know, anything that he's heard from anyone else, or we've worked out one time in 2014, but it's grown as just a respectful relationship from afar. I saw him at the Hall of Fame 2 years ago, gave him a big hug, and now he's the head coach, you know, and I think it's also going to change the way we see coaches. I don't really see us having a head coach. You know what I mean? Like, KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach.
Jack Vaughn could do it one day. It could be. It's a collaborative effort, I think, on our part.
Oh, my God. All right, so that was Kyrie Irving a couple of months ago talking about when Steve Nash got hired. He's not really a head coach. We're going to reinvent what a head coach is in the NBA. Some days Kyrie could be the coach. Heck, some days Kevin Durant could be the head coach. I'm wondering, Kyrie, could a fan be a coach one day? Could you do that? Like auction off a gift or raise some money for charity? Have a fan come in and coach the team? Incredible. And we all know he said some asinine things, but how about what he did today? So, look, everybody's having these media days across the NBA. We heard Jason Tatum. We heard Jaylen Brown. We heard Brad Stevens. We heard Danny Ainge, right? Gordon Hayward introduced as a Charlotte Hornet. Kyrie Irving. And by the way, it's not even difficult now to do these media days. The media is not around you because of COVID-19. You're literally talking into a computer. These are Zoom calls. You don't even have to really talk to the media, right? Like, not face-to-face. There's not a bunch of people in the locker room huddled around you. You don't have a crowd. You do Zoom calls, okay? This is what Kyrie did. Instead, he released a statement. COVID-19 has impacted us all in many ways, so I pray for the safety and health of our communities domestically and abroad. I'm truly excited for the season to start, and I'm also praying that everyone remains safe and healthy throughout this journey. Instead of speaking to the media today, I'm issuing this statement to ensure my message is conveyed properly. I'm committed to show up to work every day. I'm ready to have fun. I'm ready to compete, perform, and win championships alongside my teammates and colleagues in the Nets organization. My goal this season is to let my work on and off the court speak for itself. Life hit differently this year, and it requires us, and it requires me to move differently. So this is the beginning of that change. So Kyrie Irving, Brian Windhorst, further reported rather on The Jump, he's doing a media blackout this season. He will not be speaking to the media. So I guess after games, he'll release a statement via like his notes app on his iPhone. This is what he's going to do for the remainder of the season. I mean, what an absolute joke. Hey, Kyrie Irving, I'm sorry. This guy is just a complete clown. This, first of all, remember, it's the same guy that said the earth was flat. This is the same guy that doesn't think you need coaches in sports. This is the same guy that a couple of months ago wanted to start his own league, okay? Now, he also throws COVID out there as like an excuse. Kyrie, these are Zoom calls. You're Zooming. You're not talking to the media in person. These are Zoom calls, okay? You can't get infected with COVID-19 through a computer. There is no evidence to that, okay? So you're talking to whoever it is in New York or whoever it is nationally from ESPN or TNT. You can't get infected from COVID. So don't make it out to be like, oh, this is about COVID. We got to be careful with all this crap. And by the way, his whole idea when he says this, I'm issuing this statement to ensure that my message is conveyed properly. This is because of what happened at Kyrie Irving when the NBA was trying to prepare to return to the bubble. Remember, Kyrie Irving, Adrian Wojnarowski, the ESPN insider, the biggest newsbreaker in the NBA, he wrote a story and it referenced Kyrie as a disruptor. Kyrie was injured and wasn't going to the bubble because he was dealing with a shoulder issue. Kyrie apparently was in the meeting and he was asking all these weird questions about like what alcoholic beverages are going to be there and stuff along those lines. And basically Kyrie was informed, hey, dude, you're not going because you can't play. So then after that, Kyrie didn't want anybody to go. Remember, this is a big thing in the NBA. He thought it looked bad for the league to have a lot of African-American players playing in a bubble atmosphere. He was really upset about this. And remember, Dwight Howard was considering not going, but LeBron James and some of the people around LeBron James, they were at odds with Kyrie's group because LeBron's saying, okay, he's just doing this to disrupt the NBA. And that's why Adrian Wojnarowski wrote that article about the whole situation with the bubble. And then that's when Kyrie went on this whole spiel about starting up his own league. So he thinks that he was misconstrued or he was conveyed in the wrong way through the media. It's like, no, this is what other people are saying. It wasn't just LeBron's people. It was all the people in the meeting felt like you were going out of your way to stop the bubble from happening. That it was all about Kyrie because everything's all about Kyrie. I mean, this is the same guy that he's all about the attention, right? He does this for attention. So everybody talks about it. I guess I'm buying into it, right? I just think it's hilarious. He's not going to talk to the media. He's just releasing statements. But remember, Kyrie Irving told the entire fan base here, I'll be here as long as you'll have me. This is the type of guy he is. He wants the attention. He wanted the applause that day. Incredible. What an idiot. And by the way, you know this isn't going to hold up. He's going to get fined, and eventually he's going to get suspended if he doesn't talk to the media. So eventually he's going to have to talk to the media. Sorry, Kyrie. You're making $33 million this season. I know it's really difficult that you have to go on Zoom and talk to the media after a game. Unreal. All right, thanks to Dylan and Will for producing. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.